Welcome to Jawa Jabber, a Star Wars podcast dedicated to spreading our own little slice of positivity throughout the galaxy. From the prequels to the sequels to every Disney Plus spinoff they want to throw at us, we're here to celebrate any time we get to spend in our favorite galaxy together, and we want you to come along for the ride. I'm David Wren, joined by my bro hosts Dennis, Kyle, and Matt. We invite you to sit back, relax, and enjoy our fully armed and operational podcast.
And this is Jawa Jabber.
Hello there, Star Wars fans, and welcome to an all-new episode and an all-new season of Jawa Jabber. I am your supreme leader, David Wren, and I am joined by my best friends and bro hosts, Kai Nobi.
Hello there.
And Dennis the Phantom Menace. Who's not responding, so that's all right. What's up, Kai Nobi?
Not much.
I'm here.
Uh-huh. You're too late. Nope, too late. You missed your introduction. Sorry about that. We're not going back, and Spotify's not letting me edit, so guess what? We're not going to be doing this. So sorry, Dennis, you missed your opening, and you're going to have to do better next time.
I guess so.
But yeah, Happy New Year, fellas. Happy 2024.
Happy New Year.
And to our listeners out there, Happy New Year. And we are here tonight because we have some very, 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 very exciting news hot off the Lucasfilm presses. Kai Nobi, why don't you talk to us a little bit about it?
Yeah, so in case you haven't heard the news, we are honored to be the first to break it to you. The Mandalorian and Grogu are embarking on a new adventure to movie theaters. Directed by Jon Favreau and produced by none other than Favreau himself, Kathleen Kennedy, and Dave Filoni, The Mandalorian and Grogu, that's the actual name of the movie, folks, will go into production in 2024. Favreau stated that he loves telling stories set in the rich world George Lucas created. The prospect of bringing The Mandalorian and his apprentice Grogu to the big screen is extremely exciting. Kennedy also stated that Favreau and Filoni have ushered into Star Wars two new and beloved characters, and this story is a perfect fit for the big screen. And that's not all we have. We also have news that The Mandalorian and Grogu, again, that's the actual title of the movie, will lead Lucasfilm's ongoing feature development slate, including films helmed by Sharmeen Obaid-Chinoy, James Mangold, and Dave Filoni, who is also currently developing Ahsoka Season 2.
Woohoo! Way to bury the lead, Lucasfilm.
Yeah, I'm pretty excited about it. Honestly, I don't think that they could have just left Ahsoka season one the way that they did. It just opened up the next chapter of that story. So I am excited about that. What do you guys think of the film title for The Mandalorian and Grogu? Like, I think they could have made it a little bit more like creative, honestly.
Yeah, I mean, this is the same company that made films called Solo, so.
All right, fair enough.
I'm not really sure title ingenuity is anything they're known for at this juncture.
No, you're probably right. I mean, the title doesn't bother me. It's not the best title. I mean, I guess they can't just call it The Mandalorian the movie.
Yeah, but I mean, I think it's just a way for them to, especially when it comes to, and I'm really I wouldn't say I'm partial, I'm just very biased about this, but I know that Grogu has captured the attention and the minds of a lot of kids, and so putting this into theaters is a good marketing tool, in my opinion, because it will bring a lot of families to come watch it. I don't think it's going to be, like, super gritty. Like, you know, there was that idea of a Boba Fett film that was, like, directed by James Mangold and, like, a rated R, and people had all these theories about that being a potential. But I think this is a good, like, idea that Lucasfilm is pushing forward, and it's also a way for us to kind of bridge what's going on in the universe. I know that we're not sure exactly where it is in the timeline, but we know that Dave Filoni is working on a film. We know that we have others working on films, and it's all going to tie in at some point. So I think this is a good strategy for them to at least reignite the interest in this whole story and in Star Wars in general, because I feel like personally, I don't know about you guys, I feel like personally Star Wars has gotten a little, like, mellowed out right now, and it's kind of like in a lull period until we get more content.
Well, yeah, I mean, it always ebbs and flows, kind of. I mean, there's always, you know, lots of news and lots of content, and Kyle and I talked about it in our year-end recap, like, how there hasn't really been a lot of news, and, you know, now, I mean, we're a week and a half into 2024, and we get this news, so that's promising, at least in my opinion. I don't know. I mean, we kind of always go through a lull, and I think the problem with this lull is that the strikes were happening too, so, like, absolutely nothing was going on behind the scenes. Like, development wasn't going on because the writers were on strike, and the actors couldn't say anything about anything because they were on strike, and so I think that kind of added to the overall feeling of there's nothing going on, and obviously, that's not the case anymore because they've got a lot going on behind the scenes at Lucasfilm. That's kind of my two cents about it.
That's fair.
Kyle, what do you think? You've always been more of like a movie kind of guru, behind the scenes kind of production aspect guy. How do you feel about this news?
I'm excited for it. I'm thinking it's going to be a smaller scale story in terms of the plot. I'm really curious to see if this completely replaces season 4 or if they're going to work in tandem. I'm not really sure. What do you guys think about that? You think you're still good at season 4?
Just based on what they said at Celebration, and I know that was borderline a year ago, they said that...
I wasn't there.
We know you weren't there, Dennis. We've talked about it on every episode, pretty much. We know that you were not in London. Yes, let's beat the dead horse even deader. Yes. Like, they were saying how they already had season 4 written and they're trying to get everything to connect and all that stuff. So I kind of think it'll work in tandem. Like you said, like, we'll still get a season 4. We're still going to get the Dave Filoni kind of Mandoverse / Avengers / whatever you want to call it culmination movie. So, I mean, yeah, I think it'll just be another adventure, and yeah, I think it should be a smaller scale, like, not the universe in peril, because that's what the Dave Filoni movie is going to be. And yeah, if this can bring, like Dennis said, you know, like, all these people that love Grogu, you know, it can get them invested maybe into the bigger story, because maybe these people haven't watched Book of Boba Fett or Ahsoka or anything like that, and maybe this can be their gateway into the bigger story that Dave Filoni is trying to tell. I don't know. It's way too early to really know any details, but it's very exciting, and I just wanted to talk to you guys about it tonight, and hopefully our listeners are enjoying listening to our opinions on these things.
Yeah, I think it's a really great thing where they release something like this, because, again, it reignites our passion for the franchise and for Star Wars in general. Because when there are those lulls, I feel like a lot of people just kind of, they don't do as much with podcasts, that they kind of find, they have an issue with trying to actually find some kind of content, right? But when something like this comes out from Lucasfilm directly, and it's not just some kind of rumor from a random YouTuber, then it's like, okay, well, now we have something to talk about, and we can actually reignite that interest that we all love and share together as a global community.
I think it's funny because a couple weeks ago there was that rumor floating around that Mando season 4 wasn't going to be a TV season and they were turning it into a movie, and now, you know, they're saying how there's going to be a movie, The Mandalorian and Grogu. So, you know, maybe that was like someone got some kind of leaked information, kind of ran with it with like a fan theory, and, you know, it turned out to kind of partially be true, even though we don't know if it is going to be season 4, if it's going to be completely separate. I like to think, like I said previously, that, you know, it's going to be something separate, but we'll just have to wait and see. We're not going to know yet, but when we do know, we will be, you know, breaking the news to you as we are tonight. So
yeah, actually, I can touch on that. Last summer, during the SAG-AFTRA strike, Making Star Wars reported that Disney or Lucasfilm was considering making season 4 into a movie. Everybody said he was crazy and ridiculous. And then 2 months ago, I think, Jeff Snyder, who's like one of the more reliable industry leakers, not just for Star Wars, but for everything in general, he backed it up after saying no originally, that he heard sources of saying that that sources are saying that it'll be a movie for season 4 now. And here we are 60 days later with confirmation from Lucasfilm. So it's crazy just to see like the overwhelming backlash to both of them, who are probably the two most reliable Star Wars insiders, saying, oh, you guys are crazy, you're so wrong, this will never happen, and then here we are.
Did you say Jack Snyder or did you say Zack Snyder?
Jack.
Jack Snyder.
Okay, because I'm like, I think I would put a lot more credence in Jack Snyder than Zack Snyder and his
Jeff Snyder
Rebel Moon movie, which we won't get into, but
Zack Snyder does not work for Lucasfilm. He's not going to work for Lucasfilm. No. We will work for Lucasfilm before Zack Snyder does. That is my bold permission. That is my come on, really? After Rebel Moon, they're gonna let him work at Lucasfilm? No. No.
Yeah, he kind of dug his grave there.
Avocado Desperado won't get me there, guys.
Yes, it will.
Desperado was better than Rebel Moon. I can tell that.
We're gonna market the hell out of it, out of the sequel, man, and we're gonna get you. They're gonna put your statue right next to Yoda. Is what they're gonna do.
What's better, Avocado Moon or Rebel Desperado? They both have potential.
Rebel Desperado. I like Rebel Desperado. Yeah, that sounds. I
at
like
least
that.
At least your film, Kyle, was original. Like it wasn't like let's just throw everything at the wall and see what sticks. Everything that I enjoy, let's mash it up into one giant thing. But anyway, this is not a Rebel Moon criticism podcast. This is a Star Wars one, so let's get off of that.
Right. Exactly. Yeah, no, like, I still like to think we're going to get a Mando season 4. I don't know. I don't see that. I mean, I know they announced Ahsoka season 2, and we'll get to that. That's going to be very soon. But, like, and they've got Skeleton Crew, and they've got Acolyte, and they've got Andor season 2. Like, I don't want them to completely abandon the TV series. Like, you know, yes, they want to refocus on movies, and that's great. I have missed the movies. I told you guys this in December, like when it was that week where all the Star Wars movies had come out in the previous years. And like, I really miss going to the movies for a Star Wars movie. And like, does it need to happen every year? No, it does not. Like, I remember that was that plan for a while. You know, like we had the 5 years of back to back to back to back to back. And like, no, it doesn't have to happen every year, but, like, yes, I want these event movies. I want to go back to the theaters.
I think they're doing a good strike between the balance of the TV shows, right, through Disney Plus and through the films, because they have a bunch of films lined up. They're confirmed. They're not just rumors. Like, we don't know the exact plot, obviously, but, like, we know this Mandalorian Grogu one is there. We know Filoni's movie is there. We know there's the prequel movie. So, like, we know, and then the one after the sequel. So, like, we know there's ones in effect, right, and they're moving towards production. But we also have Andor Season 2, right? We have Ahsoka Season 2. So, there, and I don't know, Kyle, could you, like, because honestly, I'm going to be real with you guys. I'm not really excited about Skeleton Crew at all. Like, I really hope they change my mind, but I'm not, like, super looking forward to that. I'm rather looking forward to actually Andor Season 2 over Skeleton Crew. Is that a series? That's not a movie, right?
Skeleton Crew is a series.
Okay.
And it ties into Mando and everything.
Okay. All right. So that's what I'm saying. Like, essentially, they're doing both, right? They have a balance of the series and the TV shows where they can draw people in through Disney Plus, but they're also making these events, right? So where we can actually go see a film together as, you know, friends and Star Wars family to be able to enjoy it in the theater. So I like that they're doing that and they're not just focusing on one or the other.
I agree, and part of me hopes that with this new little era, we get maybe 3 years with just consecutive Star Wars films and then take 5 years off. Like they are right now, essentially. It might be 7 by the time we're done with this break. But everyone, you know, not to quote Taylor Swift, but everybody loves eras, you know what I mean? Like, there's the MCU era where, like, Phase 3 was amazing, and there's time off after that. You know, they're taking a little bit of time off right now for movies. I think we need to have a good spurt of Star Wars content, whether they relate to each other or not, and then take a little bit of time off. Because it makes you enjoy things more, you know what I mean? You don't 100%. Take it for granted as much. I don't know. Who knows? I really think that Mando's going to lead the charge with films, and Acolyte's going to do the same thing for TV, because everybody who has been on set or seen dailies has said that the show looks incredible, so.
I did forget about Acolyte. Yeah, that's one that I'm also really interested in. Like, honestly, if I was to, like, rank it, now that we know Ahsoka Season 2 is coming out, that would be my top. Then I would say Acolyte, then Andor Season 2, and then Skeleton Crew.
Why are you obsessed with ranking everything?
I
have to know.
You
are
in our messages that wanted to rank.
No, you bring it up all the time in our group messages, and I don't understand it. I hate ranking stuff. I hate it.
Well, you don't have to. I'm just giving my opinion of what my ranks are, because honestly, I don't know. I'm not as I'm not as invested at all. I mean, as invested. I'm not invested at all, like 0% in the new Star Wars, like, books and, like, the whole thing about the, what is it called? I don't even know what the name is called anymore, with, like, the Jedi from
the High Republic.
Yeah, exactly. I don't care. It's not that, like other people can't enjoy this. I'm not saying that at all. If that's their jam, awesome. Like, more power to you. But I don't care at all. And I feel that way towards Skeleton Crew until I see something that makes me really excited about it.
Well, the Acolyte is part of the High Republic, right, Kyle?
I mean, technically, one of the characters...
Like, it's
the,
like the end of it or something,
show.
Right? Yeah, okay, yeah.
It sounds like it'll be that way, yeah.
Right, yeah. And
okay, well, maybe that will reignite, like, an interest in the High Republic, but I swear, I've tried to read the original High Republic book that came out by Charles Soule, and I couldn't get past, like, the first three chapters. Like, I had to repeat it constantly because I got bored and fell asleep. Like, I'm not in that fan group where they enjoy that, but I'm not trying to bash it at all. Like, people can enjoy whatever they want to, but if the Acolyte makes me more interested in the High Republic, great. Otherwise, I'm just going to enjoy it for what it is and for the production value that they bring to it.
So do we think that, because there are three, like, Lucasfilm has three dates set aside for Star Wars so far. It's May of 2026, and then is it December 26 and 27, or is it 27 and 28? It's December 26?
Yeah, if I'm not mistaken, last time I checked, they still have two locked in for 2026 and then one for 2027. So,
and then one for 27.
I think maybe two of those at the most make those dates.
Right.
They're definitely not making anything for 2025.
No.
I think this Mando movie would be December of 2026, or May of 2026, excuse me, and then maybe... the Rey movie will be that December.
Of 26, and then maybe the James Mangold 27?
Or Filoni.
Filoni, yeah.
Because we can, if they push it, they can get Ahsoka Season 2 and a movie done by 2027 for May.
I think both of you would agree that, I mean, obviously these dates can always, they're always tentative. Like, they can always move. And
oh,
no, like, 100%.
But when they move, they have to move back 7 months to a year. You
right.
know what I mean?
Right.
They're not releasing anything outside of May or December. Even though October is a great month to release things lately. Sometimes November too, around Thanksgiving weekend. But I don't see Star Wars ever release a movie outside of May or December.
I truthfully, and I might be in the minority here, I want December. I, like, we had the originals, not that any of us were alive for them. Hey, even I wasn't alive for the originals in theaters.
I know,
but
you
like,
are, man.
Uh-huh, exactly. But, I mean, we obviously all lived through the prequels, and the prequels were in May. And then, but, like, I don't know, there was something about, you know, the sequel trilogy coming out in December, and Rogue One, and, like, part of my air quote problem with Solo in the movie theaters was that it came out in May. Like, I didn't like that it came out in May, and I was used to them coming out in December. And, you know, I kind of liked the craziness of Christmas Carol and Christmas time and seeing Star Wars, and I don't know, like, me personally, I liked them being in December. I don't know, what do you guys feel about that?
I think it depends on the movie. I mean, this will hopefully perform very well if it's just a fun movie. And that's what this needs to be. It does not need to be heavy. It does not need to be crazy on the plot. It needs to just be a fun movie about Mando and Grogu with some stakes. You know what I mean? That's a summer movie. It's not a Christmas time movie. You know what I mean?
That's fair. Okay.
Like, I love the feeling, obviously, before I saw the movie, but, like, Force Awakens, when that came out in December, I was so hyped. Like you said, I love being around the holidays. I love being to share that excitement with my family and everything like that when they come to town.
Those commercials.
Sounds like, yeah.
The commercials, like I sent you guys in the group chat the other day. Oh my God, the marketing for that movie was just amazing. Like, it was everywhere, and I loved every second of it.
Yeah, so I'm really thinking that this is just going to be a fun summer movie.
That's fair. I didn't think of it that way, and that's, I like that. Yeah, that. Okay. All right.
May is also stacked. That's a thing.
Yeah. Isn't that... Yeah, because 26, isn't that an Avengers movie also?
It's not going to make that date, but that's what they're saying. But when Solo released in 2018...
That was Infinity War.
Infinity War, Solo, and then Deadpool 2 after that. So.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about Deadpool.
I had no chance.
Right. Yeah, and even though at the time Disney didn't own 20th Century Fox, they do now. So that would have been three movies in 1 month. Like, that's crazy. And they're all the same kind of fan base, you know? Like, I mean, there's lots of crossover between Marvel fans and Star Wars fans, I would think.
Yeah, I think all Star Wars fans are also Marvel fans, but not all Marvel fans are Star Wars fans.
Yeah, I would agree.
Or else Star Wars would make $2 billion.
That's true. All right, that's fair.
Speaking of that, not to dominate the conversation, but what do you think this movie... Because people right now on the insider sphere are saying that if this movie performs well, it's going to be a trilogy. But they're going to drop the Mando TV stuff and just make this a trilogy. Oof. So what do you think this movie needs to make off the bat to get a trilogy? Like, I have a bottom dollar number in mind. I want to know what you guys think.
I think it's going to depend on what their budget's going to be. Like, if they make it for $150 million, and I understand that that's very, very low, especially in 2024-25, like, you know, you can do 500,000 at the box office and not 500,000, 500 million at the box office, and it'll be considered a success, you know. But if it's your normal $300 million movie, you know, $300 million movie, and then you have $100 million to promote it, and you know, like, you already have to make like a billion or two for it to be, you know what I mean? So, like, if they utilize, I don't know, do you think they'll utilize the volume, or if, are they going to go back to, like, normal sets? Like, is it going to be more like Andor, where it's, like, you know, actually building the sets? Like, I don't know, there's so many, there's so many factors at play. I because you want it to
things before I touch on it.
Okay, and you want it to stand out from the TV show. So, I mean, it'll have a bigger budget than the TV show, right? Like his helmet will probably be shinier. Like the Beskar will probably be shinier, right?
I mean, honestly, the rumors or the potential for it to turn into a trilogy, I think, and this is just my opinion, of course, obviously, all of this is just our opinion, but, like, I don't see the reason for it. Even if it does well, great, then that's some money they could put in their pocket and distribute towards other films or other series that they want to make, meaning Lucasfilm and Disney. But The Mandalorian and Grogu can be its standalone film, kind of like Rogue One was, and it can do fantastically at the box office. I don't think they need to make it into a trilogy. I don't know why they would have to, especially if they have a series going. And then you have Filoni's movie that's kind of bridging what's going on there with sequels. Like, I think that's enough. I don't think they need to make a trilogy out of it. Now, whether or not they do that, that's yet to be seen and speculated on, of course, but I don't think it's necessary, and that's just my opinion. I think that film will be enough for people to want to go see it. They'll probably buy, you know, physical copies of it so they can watch it at home with their kids, etc., etc. But I don't think there's a need for that to be an actual trilogy.
That's an interesting thought.
I agree.
I really think it depends on how much money it makes. At the end of the day, Disney is a company. They're a massive monopoly. If the movie performs well, they'll keep it in theaters. If it bombs, it may just be removed from television altogether. My speculation, this movie needs to make $750 million. If it makes any less than that, I don't think it's going to get a sequel or a trilogy. I think if it makes 500 or less, I think they stop making Mandalorian TV, and this is just the end of Mandalorian. Just the negative connotation of Star Wars movie only making $500 million, it would not be a good look.
I would agree with you.
Over a billion, 100% is going to be a trilogy. Again, that's 750 to 850. It's profitable enough to fund the next one, because you got to think, just for all intents and purposes, it's $150 million budget. That's on the low end. I don't see it going over 200. Lucasfilm does a better job at that than Marvel. Double that for marketing, you're at 300. Take the theaters cut, which is another 30% or so. You're looking at about 400 to break even. You get to 750, you're funding the next one and its marketing budget. So I think that Guardians of the Galaxy level box office, that's 750 to 850. Would hopefully be enough to grant a sequel, but we'll see.
I think it's also important to note, like, and this is, again, and I say this like I'm a broken record player, it's just my opinion. You guys obviously have your own opinions and you can completely disagree, but I feel like the draw for people to go to theaters ever since COVID, God forbid we bring that up again, ever since that, it's been very different. Like, the theater going experience and the excitement to go to the movies has been very different for most people, and I think that really takes a toll on a lot of these movies. I don't think we can measure whether a movie is a good movie, whether it's produced well and whether it's written well, based upon just how many people are purchasing tickets to go see it in the theater, because there are other factors outside of whether that film is good, involving whether people are actually going physically to theaters. Because I've been to theaters, I've seen a lot of different movies that didn't do very well at the box office, but I personally enjoyed them, not Star Wars related, obviously, because we haven't had any, but other ones have been doing really well. It's just that the amount of people that are actually purchasing these tickets, going physically to these theaters instead of waiting for it to come out on a streaming service, really does affect how they're viewing this with regards to how much money they're making, and then whether or not they're going to take that into consideration to make another film to release into theaters. I just think my opinion, that's just my opinion on how people are viewing this, just as like regular average Joe people who are going either by themselves, as a couple, as a family. They're looking at this in a different perspective than we are, because we're diehard Star Wars fans and we want to see this stuff in the actual theater. We want to see it on the big screen. But for, you know, regular people who are struggling with you know, being able to just afford food and their bills these days, they're just waiting a lot of the time to just have it show up on a streaming service. And whether or not that takes a month, 6 months, a year, eventually it's going to get on there and they're going to be able to pay $10 to rent it and watch it at home.
I think that it has to be a testament of how intriguing the movie is, you know what I mean? And I would never suggest that a movie needs to make money to be good. I mean, half the movies I love, you guys know, like, all I do with my free time is watch movies and work out. So I think I saw 23 movies in theaters last year.
Wow.
And half of those didn't make over $100 million, probably. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, Iron Claw, that was, I think it was, like, a $15 million movie, something like that. It's gonna make its money back, but Iron Claw was my favorite movie last year, and it's not gonna make over $50 million. Godzilla Minus One was probably my second favorite right after that. So,
I still haven't seen the movie. I want to see that.
So good, man. So good. But anyway, I do think that the projections for box office in that first weekend really, really determine what the second weekend's gonna do. Because, you know, I'm not gonna lie, like, if I see a movie is really tanking and I'm only somewhat interested in it, I'm probably going to wait till it comes out on streaming services, like you said. But if it's a movie that I'm intrigued about and I see, oh, it's performing well and people are going to the theaters to see this and they're enjoying it, maybe I should go too. Like, that's definitely going to have an impact. And then same thing with critic scores, whether we like it or not. They're not the end-all, be-all. But if a movie's not performing well and the Rotten Tomatoes score is under 70%, the movie doesn't stand a chance, to be honest with you. But I also hate when people justify that, because they're two separate conversations. You got to look at it where this determines how much money the movie makes, and this determines the reception, you know?
Correct.
Because there's this meme, and I'll do my best to explain it concisely because it's detailed, but it's like, you see Rotten Tomatoes score where the critic scores are low and the audience scores are high. People are like, oh yeah, see, the fans love it. Like, I'm so right, I'm validating how I feel. But when it's the opposite, you're like, oh, the critics don't know what they're talking about. Like, this movie's so good, you know what I mean? It's just... It's hard because those perceptions really do determine how much money a movie can make, you know?
When I go see a movie, I don't know if you do the same thing, but when I go see a movie, regardless, obviously at this point, it's kind of, we don't have to talk about a Star Wars movie because that hasn't been out in theaters for a while, but like any other movie, I try not to even look at those scores because I feel like that on some level, whether it's subconscious or not, is going to affect my view of the film before I even go look at it or before I even watch it. So once I watch it, then I'll form my opinion and then I'll see, what are these scores on Rotten Tomatoes or IMDb? What are people actually, you know, thinking about this film? And then I can make my own opinion, right? Like you said, you've seen films that haven't grossed a super high amount, but they were fantastic films and they were produced with genuine quality, but the actual scores themselves are very biased, and so some people may refuse to go to a theater because they've looked at that score beforehand.
And people also don't realize that when you see 98% on Rotten Tomatoes, that just means that 98% of critics rated it above a three or higher, I think, out of five.
Oh, wow.
So it doesn't mean that they think the movie is a 10 out of 10 or a 98 out of 100. It just means that 98% of the critics rate it at a 3 or 5, 3 out of 5 or above.
That's an interesting statistic to know, for sure, because I didn't know that. And that's one of those things where, like, if you don't understand that, then you just take it at face value when you look at it and go to the website.
Yep. What do you think, Dave?
Yeah, no, I think you guys are right on. I don't know. What if, and this is completely throwing something kind of more random out there, but like, what if they use this movie as a tool to bring more viewers in, because their end game is, you know, this culmination movie and whatever. Like, what if it's more, and don't laugh at me, and I know there's going to be people listening that are going to laugh at me and really know how old I am with me saying this.
There you go, we got it out of the way.
Exactly. Like, what if it's more like the original Power Ranger movie, where, like, they do, like, a big budget and they you know, like, they've got the same actors, they've got the same... Well, no, they don't have the same sets, because they filmed it in New Zealand, but, like, you know, like, they take the basic story and do an original story, but it has no connection to the serialized TV show at all. And it's just those characters, like Mandalorian and Grogu, and, like, the whole idea is to just gain more of an audience. I don't know. I could be crazy. But...
I don't think you're crazy. I mean, I think you have a point there, but at the same time, does that really matter, right? For the bottom line, Lucasfilm wants to make money, just like Kyle said. They're a corporation. They want to make money. So whether or not they get somebody in there because it's like a really good film, or whether or not they get people into the theaters because they just want to enjoy it with their family and their kids, it doesn't really matter. At the end of the day, money talks.
Well, of course money talks. Yeah. I'm just thinking from, like, a continuity standpoint. Like, it might not necessarily be connected to season 4 and what has gone before and Filoni's movie. Like, this might just be... And it might be good that it's just, like, a little side adventure. You know, like, Bo-Katan and everyone is on Mandalore doing their thing and... You know, maybe Ezra can show up or, you know, like, something. Like, I don't think it's going to be them going to go rescue Ahsoka because that'll be season 2, which is finally official. And I love that even a week ago that it wasn't official.
But I am really interested in what the story would be. Like, so whenever that starts leaking and that starts coming out, I know Kyle and I will be all over it. I don't know about you, Dan.
You know, Matt and I will be, you know, avoiding spoilers.
No,
and
don't
you
speak
and...
for Matt. Matt's guilty pleasure. Don't speak for Matt.
but he doesn't always do it, he said.
No, neither do I. It's just if you follow Bespin Bulletin, you're going to see stuff. You're going to just headers. So.
Yeah, Star Wars leaks on Reddit. So.
When Matt's intrigued, he's going to read it, I promise you.
For sure.
Oh, I'm sure. No, I know. And I'll be the Lone Ranger that doesn't know that, you know, anything's going on, but that's
all
right.
Well, that's good, because then we have somebody who's unbiased with regards to what's going to happen on the podcast. So that's a good additional person, right, when we have an episode that we're...
They're not always right.
No, they're not always right. That's true.
Correct.
Like a 90% success rate, probably. But, I mean, look at, like, with Ahsoka. I mean, everybody thought that, based on the one report, we were going to have a Mustafar kind of, like, dream sequence thing where Ahsoka would defeat Anakin.
Right.
Wasn't in the show, you know what I mean?
No.
And then...
There was just that fan art. Remember that fan art that the guy did?
Yeah, but every leak for Kenobi was spot on, you know what I mean? So...
Yeah, that's what you said.
If you lose some, things change in production, but...
Sure, yeah. I mean, production is always an ebb and flow, you know? I mean, you know, they're constantly changing. But yeah, as excited as I was about Mando, you know, and Mandalorian and Grogu, I'm over the moon about Ahsoka Season 2. Like, and I know we don't have any news or, you know, what's going on or anything, but, like, I just like that they confirmed it. And, like, I joked on our Facebook page how Lucasfilm buried the lead. Like, you know, we've all been waiting to hear about Ahsoka Season 2, and then they throw it into this, article about the Mandalorian and Grogu, so I thought that was kind of awesome. And I completely dropped my phone at work, like, because I was reading it, and I just, you know, they said Dave Filoni, Ahsoka Season 2, and I just kind of geeked out, and then I texted you guys, and then we decided to get on tonight and talk about it. Yeah, I'm just over the moon excited about it.
Yeah, I mean, I'm glad it put a lot of the haters of the show to rest, I guess, because there's a lot of naysayers saying the show had no chance of getting a season 2, even though it was one of the hottest things on streaming services at the time. So I'm happy for the show in that context. I'm happy that Dave gets to continue the story, because I really think season 1 was just a prelude. I'm really excited to see some of our favorite characters continue their performance. I mean, Iman as Ezra, Natasha as Sabine, and Ivana as Shin, they were all incredible. And I'm really curious to see what they do with Baylan. I think that storyline had a lot of promise. I think it had, it was going to take Star Wars in a way it hasn't gone before with the mythology. And it's really sad about Ray Stevens. I know we talk about almost every episode, but that just proves the impact that he had. So I'm interested to see if they recast or what they do with that storyline.
So now that we know we're getting a season two, I kind of feel like they're gonna recast. We've mentioned this before. I've mentioned this before. Like, you know, I come from a world of soap operas where, you know, these shows have been on for 60 some years. And, you know, if an actress decides to leave or, you know, or they go to another show or whatever, they recast them. And, you know, like, so I'm no stranger to seeing a beloved character recast. I mean, it doesn't happen a lot in these big media movie franchises. I mean, I know in Marvel it happened with Rhodey. They didn't use the same guy for Iron Man 1, and then they recasted him in Iron Man 2, and it's been the same guy ever since. You know, but unfortunately, Rey passed away, and I don't know. It's a tough thing. But I feel like to honor the character, to honor Rey's work, and obviously Filoni had like some kind of big, huge plan, or it wouldn't have been that cliffhanger. I feel like you almost have to recast, unless they're gonna tell it in another form, like in like a Tales of the Jedi kind of thing, like if they're going to do it that way, like in a more animated, and then you can only recast the voice, maybe.
Do you think they have the voice, like, stored somewhere, kind of like they do with James Earl Jones and everything?
I think that's a very slippery slope if they start going that route. Now, yeah, James Earl Jones... But James Earl Jones was alive and signed over his voice, so that was a whole thing. Like, I don't think they put in their Ahsoka contracts, hey, if I pass away, you can use my voice in AI for all of eternity. Like, I don't think they did that.
Now we're getting into the realm of, you know, like we talked about the SAG-AFTRA strikes and AI.
Right, which is why the strike happened. So,
right, exactly.
I think that's a very, very slippery slope. I mean, I think there's enough talented actors back there or out there that I feel like you could find someone who physically resembles him and maybe not imitate the voice, but have like a similar voice, a similar stature, and then, you know, they kind of do their own thing with a character. I don't think they're gonna pull a General Hospital and cast someone who's like 5 feet shorter or, you know, like different hair color and all that stuff. Like, I mean, because they do that sometimes, just I think they just do it for laughs, but like, I don't think they're going to go that route. I don't think they would do that route. But no, I mean, if you get into the CG and all that stuff, I don't know. I don't think they should do that. They didn't do it for Carrie for Rise of Skywalker, and that was on more of a time frame. I don't know. Kyle, what do you think?
Did they have to go with a recast?
Yeah.
It would be the only way to pay. You would be paying a disservice to the character if you didn't.
If you just let it go, right? Or if, like, in the opening crawl, like Baylan Skull was killed, he jumped off the mountain, or the hand broke, and he fell.
I think Hollywood needs to get to a place where we can, recast actors who pass away. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I know it's really unfortunate, but I also want to see how big of an actor they can get. Like, Liev Schreiber would be an awesome pick.
Russell Crowe
would be an awesome pick. There's plenty of good actors who have a fairly similar resemblance that would be a great pick for it. It just depends on how big they want to go.
Yeah, because the whole thing has always been, you know, like, even back to George Lucas, like, he didn't want two recognizable faces to be in it, you know what I mean? Like, to take you out of the story. And, yeah. You know, that's why they always go with, like, unknowns and, you know, and then they become these characters, and then, yeah. But, yeah, I'm just excited for all of it. I want more Iman as Ezra. I want more Rosario. I want it all.
When the production starts this year for that film that they're talking about, you know, rounding it back to what we started with, Mandalorian and Grogu. But don't we have something else, Kyle? We have at least Andor Season 2, right, released this year? And is it Skeleton Crew 2 and Acolyte? Or is that all this year?
Andor Season 2 isn't on the release calendar anymore for this year.
I was going to say, didn't they move it?
Add it back in. There's no confirmation there. But, Acolyte's supposed to be out before May. Hopefully, Skeleton Crew will be this winter. And then we don't know what's going on with Bad Batch or Tales of the Jedi, but they're both on the release calendar.
That's so right. I forgot about Bad Batch, but I know they're still going, yeah. So.
And then did you see that rumor about, like, different tales of, like, spinoffs?
No.
There was some guy, he was talking about how, you know, there's been story meetings about, like, a Tales of the Sith or a Tales of the Bounty Hunter, and it's, like, gonna be these, like, animated anthology-type things, but, you know, just different subjects. And I mean, I'm game for that, too. Like, I would really like that.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't heard of that, but that sounds interesting for sure, because it can just continue, just like all of these shows, right, with regards to Tales of the Jedi or anything, like, it expands the entire universe to where we get a better, fuller picture, and they can always move into different storylines where they haven't actually ventured into yet, and it doesn't always have to be live action, it doesn't have to always be a film in the theaters, it can always be any other form, any other media form they want to do that for, and even they do it in books, like, I get that, books and comics, but for the majority of the audiences that they're trying to target, I mean, bookworms and comic book, enthusiasts, it's very niche. So, like, I think for them to be able to get the majority of people to appreciate it and get involved in it, they have to do it with some form of physical or streaming media.
All right, and we have a rare thing right now because today is actually the day that they announced, however quietly, about not only the Mandalorian and Grogu movie, but Ahsoka Season 2. And it's something that we've talked about on this podcast for a while. So I want to hear from you guys right now, today, the day that they have announced it. I know we haven't had a lot of time to think about it, but what is, like, your biggest wish for Ahsoka Season 2? And then when the show comes out, we can look back and see if we were right or not.
Kyle, you can go first if you have something.
Oh, that's a tough question. Even though we've all been hoping for a Season 2, I haven't really had any expectations for it.
Right.
I love the show. I especially loved the first half, substantially more than the second half, but the ending got me really hyped. I do hope we see something with Baylan and the mythology, because that's just the most interesting thing to me, and Dave Filoni is so good at that. I mean, the Mortis arc in Clone Wars was one of the best arcs of television. Like, I'm obsessed with that. And he did the same thing in Rebels. I mean, the Loth Wolves and Kanan and everything. I mean, I really hope we get a better explanation of the father, son, and daughter, I think, through the mythology. So that'd be my number one wish.
Okay. Yeah, that's fair. That's definitely something that I would want to see more expansion on. But I'm mostly, if it was up to me, like, I'm mostly interested in what in the world happened with Thrawn, because we don't see him at all in the sequel trilogy, right? So we know something has to have happened in between there, And as far as I remember watching Rebels, we don't get, I mean, right, like, because he goes off into hyperspace with Ezra, we don't get any resolution as to where is he now, right? Like, where is he in the sequels? We hear kind of Ahsoka's voice in Rise of Skywalker, right? So whether or not she's still alive, I don't know. There's a lot of speculation there. But with regards to Thrawn and, like, why this, quote, heir to the Empire, right, which really he isn't at the very end, like, where does he go? Like, what happens to his whole character? Where does his character arc end? And he seems to be in a very powerful position at the end of Ahsoka season 2. So what happens to him? Does the First Order just decide we're going to obliterate you, and that's why we don't see him at all in the sequel trilogy in the timeline? I don't know. And that's one of the most interesting things to me. I definitely agree with you with regards to the mythology of the father, the son, and the daughter, and how that all ties together. That's one of my biggest ones as well. But Thrawn's character arc, like, I hope that they give him the character arc that people who have read the original novels, I have not, so I can't tell you what happens because I don't know. But I hope that they give him the respect that he deserves as a character, and so that we can have some kind of intertwining of stories, right? So some kind of congruence with all of this, because that's what we kind of want. You know, like, as Star Wars fans, we kind of want it to all kind of mesh together, but for it to make sense. And when it doesn't make sense, a lot of people get upset about it. So I hope that they actually do it in a way that makes at least the majority pleased with how his character arc ends.
You know, I just found this on Bespin Bulletin. It's a brand new update, because you guys have me looking at spoilers now, and it does say how Thrawn is not in the sequel trilogy, and it's because Grogu ate him.
Oh my god.
That is why. Right,
Grogu,
from Bespin,
Bespin Bulletin. So I believe it.
Yep, I know. Yep, that is why we don't see him in the sequel trilogy, because he was eaten by Grogu. So yes, I hope we do see that in the culmination movie.
Maybe he was a big frog because he had blue skin and red eyes, and he thought he's just some kind of...
He was a big blue frog, yes. Obviously, yeah, I want all the storylines to continue, and I loved Ahsoka. I put it at the top of all the series for me personally. It was great watching it, going to the fan event and everything. Like, just the whole experience of Ahsoka has been wonderful for me, and I've loved every second of it. For season 2, my biggest wish is gonna be the other 19 of those training recordings that Anakin recorded for Ahsoka. I hope that we get to see them, either as a bonus feature or a download or something. No, but in actuality, I want Force Ghost Anakin to have a conversation with Ahsoka. Like, I would like I know it was The World Between Worlds and all that stuff, and, you know, it's one of my favorite episodes of Star Wars in general, but I want, like, how he was looking at over her at the end and whatever. Like, I would like some kind of modern timeline conversation between Anakin and Ahsoka, if only just to give Hayden something else to do, because we all know he wants to keep doing Star Wars, and I say let him. I know he's my favorite, I know I'm a little biased, but I say let him. If he wants to do it, I say let him.
Yeah, I don't have any disagreement there. So, is there anything else that we wanted to bring up? Any kind of extra news, or?
No, I mean, that's pretty much it. That's gonna do it for tonight's episode, really. Yeah, thank you guys for listening to our breaking news segment. Hopefully our next episode we won't have as many technical difficulties. but, yeah, no, so the big news of the day, Ahsoka Season 2 and a movie coming out, The Mandalorian and Grogu, even if the title is not the best. Hey, It's going to get seats in the theaters. It's going to reignite everyone's passions for Star Wars. Everything that we have just talked about in the last 45 minutes, it is going to do. And we can't wait, and we will bring you all the upcoming news when it comes to that release. Dennis, do you want to talk about our social channels and how to get in touch with us?
Yeah, sure. Honestly, I think the best way to get in touch with us would be through Facebook. So if you go to Jawa Jabber, we have a Facebook page, and that's really the most active of our social media channels right now. If you wanted to send us an email, or if you wanted to kind of just let you know your thoughts about the episode, you can go to jabberingjawas@gmail.com and just shoot us an email. If you want to be on the show, we'd be happy to have you and set that up. So please let us know what you think. And yeah, hope that our content is entertaining at the least.
And that's a wrap for our season premiere of season 3 of Jawa Jabber. Thank you very, very much for listening and tuning in on Ootini Radio, where we will be coming to you all year long with all the latest and greatest Star Wars news and happenings. For Kenobi, Matt the Radar Technician, Dennis the Phantom Menace, I am your Supreme Leader, David Wren. Thank you very much for listening, and may the Force be with you always.